Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with the Beginner Runner Village podcast number 27, the why and how of walk to run workouts. I would guess that almost everyone who takes up running starts with alternating walking and running segments, but some people may try very hard not to do that. They push themselves every day to run as far as possible, trying each day to do more than the last, which in other aspects of life, other goals, usually works, and it may work, will work for some people who are starting their running journey, but it's less efficient, less pleasant, and more dangerous. I'll explain why, and I'll explain the best way to execute a walk-to-run program in just a minute. But first, I have some exciting news. I just finished making a favorite resources for beginner runners guide that's now available for free on the beginnerrunnervillage.com website. It includes these three things. Number one, my whole Prepare Your Body to Run guide, which describes the most important exercises and stretches to do to get your body ready to run. Two, you'll also receive a link to my favorite running form video, the same running video that I show my most experienced clients. Good running form is good form, no matter the level, and it makes perfect sense for you to learn the correct form right off the bat. A link to an article is also included that explains the various alternative ways to lace your running shoes to customize the fit or alleviate pain, which can make a huge difference. No matter how good your shoes fit, you may find that there's still one small problem. No matter how many different styles or brands you try, you may not get the fit as good as you'd like. Well, there are actually several alternative lacing strategies. For example, there's a way to tie your shoe if you have a problem with your big toe rubbing against the top of the shoe above it when you run. And there's a way to tie your shoes to make the toe box seem a little bigger. And a way to tie your shoe to make your heel more snug. So you'll want to get this information. That's the third thing, the ways to tie your shoe. Number four. This resource guide also includes a list of my five favorite pieces of running gear for beginner runners. So lots of stuff in that one document. Just go to beginnerrunnervillage.com and click my favorite resources, and you'll get it in your inbox very quickly. Also, a reminder that if you'd like to work with me and join my walk to run or first 5K program, just go to beginnerrunnervillage.com and click coaching program in the menu bar. Once you're in the program, you'll be able to see the workouts for every week of both the walk to run and first 5K programs. That's very important because it's critical that you start your journey at the right place. That's where most people go wrong. With my program, you start by doing a running fitness check. Then you look over the various weeks of the program and see which week's workout most closely aligns with your current fitness level. Now, many people are saying, oh, that's not necessary. I know I need to be at week one of the easiest program, which of course would be the walk to run program. But think about this. Some people listening to this would feel challenged after running just 20 steps. Others would reach that same feeling at 2 minutes. But still others wouldn't feel that way until they ran a whole mile. Those are three very different starting levels, and you should not be starting at the same place in the continuum of running workouts. That's the mistake that many people make. What is appropriate for the person at 20 steps would be far too easy for the person who can run a mile, but more importantly, the workout for the mile would be far too hard for the person doing 20 steps. A one-size-fits-all approach is not good. That's why I have my runners do this fitness test to check their current fitness level first. Now, even if you don't use my program, you can do this same fitness test to see if you have found a running schedule or program that's appropriate for you. Everyone should do this test. If you're already doing a program, following a schedule, this will be a check to see if it's right for you. Specifically, here is what to do. First, you go for a 1 mile warm-up walk, starting with an easy stroll and working up to a brisk walk at the end. Now for the next part, you'll need to time yourself and count your steps. Next, you run as far as you can until you feel it getting challenging. You want it to feel like you're pushing yourself just a little. Notice I said a little challenging. Don't run until it gets really hard. Then you've gone too far. Does this match what your schedule is having you do right now? If you're in my program, you then look over the various weeks within the program and start at the week with a running segment that corresponds with the number of steps or length of time you found was right for you in the running test. Most beginner programs, in fact, every other program I've ever seen, starts you with a time rather than a number of steps. My Walk to Run program starts with steps because I've found that there are many, many people who need that. Other programs seem to assume that anyone who can't already run a minute or so should just tough it out somehow, push themselves harder. I hate that, and I don't like to use the word hate. I don't use it mildly, but really, that is a huge mistake. You shouldn't have to change to meet the program, to push yourself at a level that makes you miserable or risks injury. I hate it because it causes people to fail, to flunk out of the program, those other programs, I mean, believing that they just can't do it, that it's their fault, or they just don't have the body for it. The other reason I hate it is that because those same people could have succeeded and become lifelong runners. It would just take them longer to get there, but who cares? All of those people who are unsuccessful would have been happy to take longer and actually achieve their goal of eventually becoming a runner, eventually being able to run 4 miles at a time. That would be extremely satisfying for them, life-changing in many cases. So it drives me crazy that the wrong program or coach or someone saying, you just have to work harder, can ruin all that, destroy that dream, and cancel that opportunity. There really is, or there should be, a program for everybody. Everybody has to start somewhere, and if you start at the right place, you will be comfortable getting out there and doing it every day. But you have to find the right program. In this way, my program is completely customizable. Once you join, then you go on the you go into Facebook and join the closed Facebook group for that part of the program that you're working in. And actually, right now, I've combined the first 5K, first 10K, and Walk to Run program. So they're all in the same Facebook group, which is working really well. We're getting a lot of conversation between the different people, and it's starting to create a nice community. I love that. My program is also set up so you'll be able to easily print out each week's schedule, and the website is mobile friendly, so it's easy to see everything on your phone. Okay, now to today's topic, why walk to run and how to execute a walk to run plan. If you try to run nonstop and you haven't been doing that, several things happen. First, you won't get very far. Let's say you make it a whole quarter of a mile, but by then you're really hurting and really breathing hard. Oh, and you're miserable because it was so hard to do. And you're discouraged because you're thinking, ugh, that's not very far at all. You go into the shower thinking, well, I'll do better tomorrow. Tomorrow comes and you're dreading your workout because it was miserable and disappointing yesterday. You figure, though, that today you'll be able to go farther because you should be stronger because actually you tried yesterday. So you'll be stronger today, right? You try again. It hurts more and you have even more trouble catching your breath than the day before. And you can't make it a quarter of a mile. You stoop over, hands on your knees, trying to catch your breath, hot and discouraged. You think, how do people do it? It's just me. I'd like to be one of them, but I can't. My body is not up to it. I just can't. Okay, I have to accept that I tried. I'm done. Now, hopefully, even if it was such a bad experience on day two, you would continue to try. Let's say you get out there for day three. But what do you think would happen? You guessed it, even more exhausted than on day two and sooner. This is not going well, is it? Not the way you planned. Here's the reason you're failing. In order, several reasons. Number one, you didn't warm up. Now, I did a whole episode about warming up, in which I explained that warming up for you is just as important for any other runner. You may be thinking that you can't run, so why should you warm up? That it doesn't make sense to do a warm-up run. True. I want you to walk to warm up. Everything is relative. Because you're new to running, it's perfectly appropriate for your warm-up to be a walk. Walk a whole mile before doing any running. Then stop to do dynamic stretching. Then begin your workout. This alone will make a huge difference in your comfort level and efficiency. Never skip the warm-up. The next mistake was doing it 2 or 3 days in a row. That will not work. The reason your performance regressed on day 2 was because you didn't let your body recover. You expected your body to be stronger, but you only get stronger when you recover. That takes 48 hours. Your in-between day until you can run should be, say, a mile before. Let me say that again. Your in-between day until you can run, say, a mile nonstop should be just a vigorous walk. Vigorous for you. And I said vigorous, not strenuous. Don't go as fast as you can. Just go fast enough to elevate your heart rate. This is what we call active recovery. If you push yourself too hard on these active recovery days, you won't improve as quickly on your harder days. We call this the hard, easy principle. Many people make the mistake of trying to go hard every day, and this is their downfall. It doesn't work in running, not for any runners of any level, and it's going to court injury for sure. Make every other day an easy day and welcome it. Enjoy it. It is still part of your training. Keep that in mind. And being careful not to push it too hard is part of the training too. You are actually learning how to train. That's part of it. Your next mistake was, if this was you, I'm saying, was going as far as you could before stopping to walk. You might be able to repeat this a couple of times or maybe even several. But if you stopped just when it was getting a little challenging, guess what? You could run in total about twice the distance, and that is what builds endurance. Additionally, it's far less intense. Guess what? That means you're far more comfortable. It's also far easier on your body, lessening the possibility of injury. However, even if you now have the energy and emotional drive to go twice as far, don't do it. No matter what, above all else, your number one goal is to avoid injury. For that reason, you need to increase your total distance at a controlled rate. You need a good schedule for this, one that is designed with the beginner runner in mind. And even then, if it starts to feel like you're beginning to get stressed, then you must go back to the prior week and repeat that until you get to the point that moving on isn't too hard. I hope you can see why a walk-to-run approach works best. Even if you can run a whole mile nonstop, the best way to increase your endurance is to still employ a walk-run pattern to build to greater endurance without dreading your workout and without injury because you don't have intensity. That's what we want. You don't want high intensity. You get the idea, right? There is a right way and a wrong way. Now, please remember to go to my Beginner Runner Village website and click the My Favorite Resources link to order your free guide. Here's your homework. If you already have a schedule written out for next week, go and study it. Do you think it fits with the protocol I just described? If not, modify it and then stick to it all week if it seems to be working and see how that goes. If you don't have a schedule and you've just been going out there and trying to run, I recommend joining my program, of course, but if not, just write out something that you think is right for you based on what you just learned. But whichever you do, be prepared to analyze how it's going on day one and modify the schedule as needed to make it work appropriately, according to the guidelines I just explained. Now, I want to take a moment to welcome and congratulate the people who've joined this program in the last month. And then I have a message specifically for them and others who joined before last month. Betsy, Deborah, Leslie, Beth, Robert, Emily O, Michael, David H, April, Devin, Jennifer, Karen M, David C, Karen F, Andrew, Heather, Susan, Jessica, Anna, Emily B, Erica, Lindsay, Nicole, Daniel, Bill, Cindy, Barbara, Shanna, Marie, Alexander, Mark, Jeff, Linda, Robin, Alice, and Shannon. Now, here's a message for all of you all and anybody else who has joined the program. Please make sure to join the Facebook group. Some people join the coaching program but never join the Facebook group. This is what I think happens. People have already liked my Facebook page, and they don't realize that there's a closed, private Facebook group with a lot of conversation and live videos from me that is completely separate, that's just available to the people in the coaching program. I really want to make sure everyone gets in there. I've started doing these live broadcasts at least every other day, and the people in that program seem to think that's very helpful. It's nice that they ask questions in the Facebook group, and then I can address those when I do a live broadcast. I've talked about equipment. I've talked about finding time to run, how to incorporate cross-training into their schedule, and other things, and I have a lot more planned in the weeks ahead. When you join my program, you get an email with links that connect to the Facebook group, that link to the Facebook group. But I think some people lose track of that email, or maybe they think that those are links to the page that they've already liked. Or maybe some people live in the Tampa area and they're members of my Run Tampa group, and they may think that's the group for the program, but that has absolutely nothing to do with Mojo for Running coaching groups. So if you've joined the Mojo for Running coaching program and you're not in the private, closed Facebook group for that program, then I need you to, if nothing else, you can email me, deb@mojoforrunning, and I'll make sure I get you the link to get into the right group. You can also click on the icon in each week's program, each week's schedule, to get to the group that way as well. Again, a huge welcome to all those new members and welcome to the community. I'm excited to have you aboard. Now, here's today's quote. There is no problem so big that you can't make it worse. That's from a TED Talk by Commander Chris Hadfield. What I mean here is that whatever you're trying to fix by starting to run, whether it's that you're trying to lose weight or just want to exercise to maintain a healthy weight, or you need to improve your type 2 diabetes, or you just want to have more energy and make sure you're healthy and can live a long life with a high quality of life, if you try to run and do it wrong and get injured, then you'll have made it worse. Hopefully, if that happens, you'll return to try again. But statistically, many people adopt the, I can't be a runner because of an issue with my foot, or it might be knees or hips, when actually the problem was that they didn't go about it with the right patience and with wisdom and knowledge. Now, go out there, get some exercise, breathe some fresh air, work up a sweat, and enjoy yourself. I'll be back soon.